Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Kisisa, most famously known for the Cheder Egel. So this evening, I would like to discuss a famous approach in the Cheder Egel and a halacha concept related to that flaw or that, you know, human need of Klal Yisrael. We'll speak about mostly Hilchos Tefila, about looking at images when we daven and using the imagination when we daven, and certainly the dangers of getting too physical or thinking in terms of physicality when we should be thinking about spirituality. So here we go. The Torah says, Parsha Kisisa Lamed Beis Aleph, Vayara Am Kiboshesh Moshe Laredes Minahar. So the nation understood that Moshe had not yet come down. Vayikahel Ha'am Al Aaron. So naturally, right, they turned to Aaron. Vayom Re'elav Kumu Aseilanu Elohim, rather kum, right? So make for us an Elohim. Ah, it's a chor, Elohim. Asher yehu lefaneinu. That's crucial terminology in the every word in this every word ever, but every word in this pasuk is so crucial. So they wanted an Elohim, asher yehu lefaneinu. They needed something called an Elo. So something, a very controversial word over there, that that they needed seemingly a quote-unquote God or something that at least sounds like a God to lead them. So essentially, Klal Yisrael were in search of something because Moshe had not returned from Har Sinai. Okay, so the Ramban makes it very clear that Klal Yisrael did not violate Avodah Zarah. Not violate Avodah Zarah and the Kuzari as well. So meaning the very bold term is the term Elohim, right? I mean, they said, make for us an Elohim. Now, if they're asking, it sounds a lot like Avodah Zarah. However, the Ramban points out that it can't be Avodah Zarah because Moshe taught us the Derech. We have always been following Moshe. Hine avad mimenu. He's lost from us. Na'asa lanu Moshe acher shoyore ha-derech lefeinenu al pi Hashem biyado. So the key word is being al pi Hashem, meaning Klal Yisrael were not looking to replace Hashem. They were looking to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. And they always understood that Moshe was not Hashem. They did not get lost in that. And the Ramban continues a little bit later on and his commentary there. Aval inyan k'moshe amarti shelo bikshu ha'egel liyot lehem lakel meimit umchaye. They did not want a God, nor did they think that the Egel Hazav had the ability to revive the dead or give life, anything like that, to end life. They were not looking to accept the Egel as a god, but rather, so in a word, according to the Ramban, the Jewish people were thirsty for leadership. They needed a leader, and there was no individual anymore in the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they needed a substitute for Moshe. Now again, you can ask a million questions. How in the blazes is a golden calf a legitimate replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Ramban has a very lengthy piece here, and there's certainly a tremendous amount of Kabbalah involved as well. And you can certainly spend a lot of time just learning Ramban, and maybe, you know, maybe we should all do that this coming Shabbos or whatever, maybe for a different time. But in a similar vein, the Sefer HaKuzari is also along the same thought of the Ramban, that the Klal Yisrael did not violate Avodah Zarah. They weren't trying to deny the fact that it was Hashem who had taken them out of Mitzrayim. That was not their flaw. But they did mess up in a certain commandment from Hashem. Hashem said, don't make any images, right? We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Yisro when we discussed the Ten Commandments. And there is a prohibition not to make certain images. We spoke about the Isra of sculptures. And v'haya lahem lahamtin, v'hem asu tzura, they did make such an image, a sculpture, something physical, and they should have waited, v'haya lahem lahamtin. And essentially, they went with the physicality, and they used that as a tzura, as an image, and went with it, they shechted to it. And there were those among them who convinced Klai to do that who were more accustomed to such service in their own worship. So basically, according to the Ramban and the Kuzari, what is classically explained is that Klal Yisrael needed something muhashi, something tangible, something that they could look at and say, that is our leader in the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, and again, there's a lot more to say over there, but it should be noted that in contrast to other Mefarshim, they hold that it's not about a Zohar, number one. And number two, there was a basic human need, Klal Yisrael needed at that time to fill the void of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they needed to replace Moshe. Very nice. So now let's think of us and our own world in the halacha. How easier maybe would davening be, maybe entire religion would it be, if there was some form of physical representation of God? I mean, imagine if you felt something looking at you. You know, when I'm a teacher, right? Hypothetically, if a superior of mine is in the room, you know, watching my lesson, right? You know, you have a principal doing a check-in, right? So knowing that someone's looking at me in the room, so I'm going to be on my A game. Now, if we're on a high level of Amuna and Bitachon, we always feel that Hashem is looking at us, and we know that Hashem is in the room, and we would never dare sin. But certainly, when there's someone physical looking at us, it's a different ball game because we are wired to view the world through the physical world. And again, hypothetically, imagine if there was some form of physical representation of God in the front of every shul. Do you think it would be easier to have kavanah when you daven or no? It would be. Robert's not afraid. Robert's not afraid to just give up all of his own lamhab. Very good. Right. So although Robert understands that you would, so you're saying you wouldn't subscribe to? I'm with Robert on this one.
But some of us keep our eyes closed.
Easier to concentrate on what, though, right? I mean, what are you concentrating on? Okay, so what you're actually doing. Good day, and Rabbi Weinshelby, what are you thinking?
Yeah, because just like on one hand, yes, you would have the presence. On the second hand, you would know, since you were not mechaving the right way the last time, this has no power.
That's interesting.
It just becomes like a...
It wouldn't work.
To be honest, I think in the end of the day, it's like anything else. But in the end of the day, we drive. We start driving when we're 17, 18, depending on where the country you are. And in the beginning, we were very concentrated. But today, 20 years later, whatever. Like anything else.
So David argues that we would get used to it. It wouldn't be such a big enhancer. Right. Very good. Right. We'd get used to everything. Okay. So let's try now to appreciate a halacha which really directly addresses this natural tension between the physical world and the spiritual world, we'll say, or needing to relate to God physically. Says the Gemara Maseches Brachos Lamedalet Amar Beis. Va'amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Al Yisfalo Adam Ela Bebeis Bebayis Sheyesh Sham Chalonos. So David, I'm going to read it again in Hebrew now. All right, I just wanted to make sure you're with me. All right, Shneamar. Okay, now I need your help. Now we even have Tanakh going Aramaic on us. There's a pasuk in Daniel. V'chavin p'tichan le be'alita neged Yerushalayim. So what does the pasuk in Daniel say? That when Daniel understood it was an opportune time to pray, he went up in the attic and facing Yerushalayim. So what am I pointing out, though? Meaning, here we have a concept that you should specifically daven with windows. Why are you davening with windows? So you should daven. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I meant you have a chavin p'tichin light. Right. Daniel opened up windows in the attic facing your shrine. So I will tell you a story. When I it needs to seemingly be see-through. Now, when I learned this originally, Mechavrusa, there's a Dr. Morty, or professionally Mark Fenster, and we were learning this. I do not know what Fenster means. Oh, really? That's ironic. So I'm learning with my buddy Morty, and then I know that the word Fenster means wins, though. But Morty and I were extremely close friends for many, many years. We learned Mechavrusa for many years, and we were learning this in the Y-Bis Medrash. And we had your question, David, that it's not doesn't say to daven by a window, it says to open the window. So there is a very brilliant Rabbi Eitan Schnau in the Y-based Medrash. And he, his brother is here, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Schnau, Fairlawn, born and raised. Not true at all. I don't, again, I'm not a Medrash Lee, but he lives here now. He grew up in West Hempstead. And Rabbi Eitan Schnau, either he overheard us, we asked him, do you need to open the window? And he said, the great Rav Chaim Ilson Shlita, one of the leading Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, was machmir to open the window a little bit before you start Shmona Esrei. Whoa. No one else does that. However, it should be noted that, that I had your question. I asked it a bunch of years ago. And there is a rather impressive Rav who did feel the need, apparently, at least sometimes, to open the window, I guess, in his own best measures when he was able to set it up that way. And look how the Shulchan Aruch presents the halachim. Orach Chaim Tzadi Simen Tzadi Sivdal. Tzarich Liftoach. Psachim O Chalonot Kineged Yerushalayim. So again, in the front of the shul where you're facing, there should be an open window, in you know, to see outside. Kidei Lihispal Kinegdan. Vitov Sheyu Bebeis Agnesis Yud Beis Chalonot. So we know famously there's a concept of having 12 windows in the shul. But the halacha is teaching us that we should be davening facing Yerushalayim with an open window. So what do you need an open window for, right? So what's the concept? So says the Mishnah Berurah, I think it's originally the Kasha of, maybe it's the, I'm trying to remember who originally asked this Kasha. It's not, you know, almost always the Mishnah Berurah is quoting earlier sources. So if the Mishnah Berurah, though, brings it down, you know, it's sometimes easier just to present it as the Mishnah Berurah. But I forget whose question it was originally, but he asked a Kasha. He says, I don't understand. There's another halacha very shortly after in Siman Tzadi Hey in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you daven, you should actually be looking down a little bit. So what does it mean that you should also have an open window, as if you're like looking at the sky when you daven? So v'afagav d'tzarech shitein einav l'mata u'ma nafkemina b'hachalona. So why do you need windows? What's the difference? You're looking down anyway when you daven. You go makom kishin is batla kavanaso yisa einav l'shamayim l'over hakavana. When you feel yourself losing concentration, argues the Chafetz Chaim, again, quoting earlier sources, that you should look out the window to the sky, and that will help you regain your focus when you daven. This was a halacha that I tried to keep very closely during COVID when we were davening at home. I had my own little makom in my living room right by the window, facing Yerushalayim, more or less, and I would daven specifically in a little wall area where on my right was the window. And if I was spacing out a little bit, or I'd start to kind of, you know, fade, I would quickly stare at the window up at the sky. And it was a beautiful opportunity. And some of the advantages in the skies during COVID were, you know, maybe people prefer to daven at home, whatever, you know, many of those types of things. But here we have an example in the halacha where looking up at the sky is associated with Hashem. Now, again, I'm going to ask intentionally silly kasha. Why is that not avodah zarah? What, Hashem's in the sky? What, the cloud, isn't that avodah zarah? What does that mean? You look at the sun, you look at the moon, and that's how, isn't that how avodah zarah began when you started believing? Yeah, it's a klutz kasha, I'm asking it intentionally like this. They are good. Very good, pentisa, right? I know, but I'm asking it intentionally because I know the answer.
It's an inspiration. Looking at something vast that's not in your control.
Right. So when you look at the sky and it's automatically in association with God, so what if there's something else physical that I can associate with God? Ooh. And I'm just going to quote the pasuk in Tehillim.
The difference is you're making it versus it's made by God. That's the difference.
Aha, very good. So I want to jump. I just want to quote the pasuk. We know which Shabbos is Emor, by the way. Do we say this pasuk and at least quote it to some degree? Paraphrase.
It's a person that's more of the extra Shabbos.
Right. Also, we say in Baruch Kelelion, I think Hashemayim. We know which one. Hashemayim. It's Yom Zemachubar. Yom Zemachubar. Yom Zemachubar. So, yeah, similar concept. But on Shabbos, we speak about Hashemayim Mesapim Kavod Kel, namely that when one looks at the sky by nature speaks of the Kavod of Shemayim. And I'm going to ask an intentionally controversial question, like why is that okay? In the same way that Klal Yisrael needed something physical to kind of latch onto, so the halacha is also allowing us to associate the sky with Hashem. Now, obviously, we don't take these things too far. In fact, right away, we're going to learn the main source for this evening is in the Rama. Habegadim hamitzuyarim. Hilchos Tvila Simon Sadi, also much, you know, later on in the Simon, Sif Chav Gimel. Let's say you have some form of linens in the shul, some form of decorative cloths. Afal pi she'enem boltot. So they're not protruding, right? A few weeks ago, we learned that when something is like a 3D image, when it's bulging out, it's not just on a flat surface, it's much worse. But even if it's just a flat, you know, regular picture, ein nachon lispal kenegdim, it is inappropriate to dive in opposite these pictures. V'im yikra lo lispal kenegdim beged o kotel mitzuyah. But what if you're forced to dive in right up against pictures, wall with an image on it? Yalim einav, you have to close your eyes. So let's say I dive in right in front of the shul by the stained glass windows with these beautiful pictures on it. So what does that mean? I'm not allowed to dive in front of those windows. Now, again, we just learned that it's good to have 12 windows in a shul. That's great. But now we're learning, okay, but those windows should be, see-through and not certainly have imagery on them that could be distracting. And the Rama adds, here it is, v'lachein asur, here's the funny term, gam kein litzayer tziurim bisvarim, shemispalalin bahen. What are you not allowed to do? Put pictures in a sitter. Shalot is batel hakavana. Says the Rama.
Kohen does it in their special editions. The Friday night sitter has beautiful pictures of Eretz Yisrael.
The NCSY sitter. I was about to Google it. The NCSY sitter is this beautiful white sitter made by Kohen. If you look in the inside of it, so AB, I don't remember all of them. I could try to get, let me show everybody just a little bit of a glimpse of how loaded these pages are. It's like a Sefer. It's gorgeous imagery. I don't know if you were Shalai. Maybe what are some other things going on in there? You have the sun. You know, in the morning by Moda Ani, there's a beautiful picture of the sunrise. You know, except you can get the idea why it's very intuitive to have very appropriate pictures connected to the tefillah. Also, what do we have? Benchers like that, right? You know, Haggadahs, Megillah is celebrating Purim Katan, right? So,
Megillah, period.
What do you mean by Megillahs?
Okay, Megillahs that are used in shuls for lighting, and they're all decorated.
Wait. A cloth Megillah is decorated?
Sure.
What do you mean decorated? What do you mean by decorated? You've seen pictures on a cloth Megillah. AB, I trust you. Oh, wait, now you have to think. Hold on, Your Honor. Your Honor, we don't know what he had for supper that night, but it was Purim Katan, and he was driving that evening, Your Honor.
Definitely a keser.
All right, a crown. Okay, all right, now that's already thematic. That's a legit thing. And by the way, I'm happy you're saying this because it's one of the koros this evening, is your question. I was talking about the art scroll Megillas Esther with all the cool pictures. And before I forget, I have to tell you, I was once on a Moshe Vash Shabbaton. I was in eighth grade, and I go to this apartment in Riverdale. Now, I grew up not necessarily knowing every detail about Megillas Esther in terms of the Torah content, but I was certainly, along with my brother Rabbi Rafi Mandelstam, an expert in the art scroll pictures, because the Megillas Esther for kids had amazing pictures. And I walk into this apartment in Riverdale, and guess what is framed on all the walls? These pictures from the art scroll Megillas Esther youth series. And me and my friend is now a rabbi in Queens, Rabbi Yoni Dansger. We're buddies, you know. And we say, what's up with all the pictures? And lo and behold, our host was the artist.
Oh, wow.
The man who drew those pictures. Rabbi Michael Harari, Michael Har, something like that. He was the artist. I remember his wife said, my husband has such talent with his hands, He could have become a doctor. There they are in his apartment in Riverdale. You know, these gorgeous pictures. You know, and it's like, you know, nothing's ever changed. You know, she's like, he could have become a doctor. You know, it was a great shot by Tone. And she was just joking. I'm sure they're happily married for, you know, for many, many years by then. Anyway, they were an older couple then, you know. So anyway, so a good story with me and the artist of the art scroll, McGill. Okay, so we have our work cut out for us because what we just learned.
Okay, sorry,
yeah.
This is different from the initial issue. Something is painted. This is different.
No, same thing, same thing.
No, but the next time, same
thing. Well, yeah, there are a couple of issues.
There's an animal or something in front of you.
Yeah, same thing.
It's you.
Same thing. That's what we're talking about. There is an inherent isser.
There isn't a difference if there's a person or an animal, or if there is just a scrub.
No, we're talking about person and animal.
Ketel.
No, right now we're talking about not davening in front of these types of pictures that you're talking about. I think we're talking about the exact same thing.
It matters what's inside or what's not.
I don't know. Let's learn the Mishnah Berurah, but I think what you're describing is what we're talking about. I think so. So here, the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on the words Ein Nachon, because the Shulchan Aruch said, again, if it's just pictures, not necessarily of anything, but pictures, Tziurim, HaBigadim HaMetzuyarim, just decorations. Ein Nachon, so it says the Mishnah Berurah, Shelo Yehi Ma'bit B'Tziurim V'lo Yechaven B'Tfilaso. They're going to distract you. Okay, they're going to be distracting. Fine. And the next thing that the Mishnah Berurah comments is on what the Ramah said, having pictures in the Siddurim. B'chein yesh lizar mitam zeshlo litzayer bekotel beit ha-gneset tziurim neged panav shel adam ela lemala mikomat ish. So if you're going to make pictures on the wall in the shul, they can't be eyesight or lower. They need to be above where people look. Now I think it's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach who's quoted in the Dirshim Mishnah Berurah, this is, but nowadays everyone kind of looks up anyway. So any pictures are would be problematic. Seemingly, if you put a picture maybe even on the ceiling, it would be distracting. And now, similarly, in the same way that you can't put a picture on the wall because it could distract you, the Mishnah Berurah says, Aser lispala keneged hamare. You can't dive in by a mirror. Demechse kemishtachave levevoa. Shalom, it would appear that you're davening to your own image. And that even would appear to apply if your eyes are closed. Wow. That's what Mishnah Berurah quotes. So here, we are starting to see a little bit of a blurry line between two different halachos. There's one halacha that you shouldn't daven in front of things that are going to distract you. There's a very similar halacha that don't daven in a way that might appear to be like avodah zarah, like you're davening to you, or you're bowing down to the image of an animal or a person, right? In the Shulchan Aruch, it's similar to the concept of not davening behind another person, because, you know, like the Gemara says, if you daven behind your Rebbe, it looks like you're bowing down to your Rebbe, right? So these halachas are very related. I'm happy you asked the question. Now, the Isha Yisrael deals with a question I had in Moreh Shekolah. Moshe Kolel, I davened my second summer there, right in the front row up against the window. What's the problem with the window? Right, then we just say, supposed to daven by the window, but what happens to windows at night? They turn into mirrors, right? If there are no window shades, at least. So every night I would daven Marv, mamish in front of this window with my reflection. And I would try to, I think, daven a little bit to the side. So believe it or not, there's a pretty large machlokas poskim. And the consensus seems to be that we treat any reflection the same way. Who cares if it's a window or a mirror? If you're davening to your reflection, that's considered davening to you, or at least it would appear to be davening to you. And therefore, in the very famous Sefer Yishei Yisrael, he says in a footnote, "V'lachen yesh li yizar shelo lispala b'layla kineged chalon u'kedoma tahave kimo mare." It doesn't need to be literally a mirror. So anytime you're davening in front of your own reflection, so that would be a problem. So again, so the halachas we're learning so far are pretty straightforward. That don't daven with imagery because it's going to distract you, and don't daven in front of a mirror. So very good. So this goes back to our original point of this year. Klal Yisrael were struggling this evening. Why? Because they needed something physical to connect to. And their job was to be a little bit more patient, wait for Moshe to return. But because they had that craving to connect, it was seemingly coming from a very good place, a genuine place of searching. They got close to Hashem. They needed something tangible to relate to, and they had the wrong conclusion. So can you ever argue that it's ideal in Lechatchila to actually connect to something physical in order to use those images to connect to Hashem? Lechatchila. And I'll tell you an interesting thing. I have a friend who once said he likes davening with his eyes closed, but when there's light in the room, because the light shining on his closed eyelids gives him like a heavenly feel. There's a light. He relates to the light. The light helps him connect. Whoa. So now is that Avodah Zarah? No. Does it sound a little bit questionable? I don't know. It sounds like, you know, he's like, you know, just from maybe a little bit Breslavish, you know, but it sounds like a very nice way to connect, right? And in fact, one of the very, very first comments of the Chumash Brura, Siman Aleph, Sivkat and Dalet comments on the famous line, opening line of the Rambam, Shiviz Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, right? What does the Torah say in Sefer Tehillim? I always place Hashem opposite me. Who Klal Gadol B'Torah, V'malas HaTzadikim, Shehochim Lefnei HaElokim. So a tzaddik always lives with the awareness that he's in the presence of Hashem. And that's so important. In Yeshiva Ta'adam U Tenu Osav V'Asagav V'Hu Levado B'Beito. If you're alone, you're going to act one way, and it's going to be different. So certainly a tzaddik will always live a lifestyle as if he's in the presence of Hashem, because he is in the presence of Hashem, and you don't need to see anything physical. I always feel God's presence in the room, and I don't need a physical sign. But guess what? The Mishnah Berurah says, V'kasvu, B'shem ha'arizal, she'yitzayer shem havaya tamin neged einav b'nikud yud with the chirik. Right? You know, I don't even pronounce it. But yud ke vav ke with a yud with a chirik. The first syllable is a yi. There it is, of course. If you've opened the Sephardi Siddur, who here has ever seen one of the heaven Sephardi Siddur? A lot of funky stuff, exactly. So the Litvish Ashkenaz, like me and Adam, we see that we should quickly close it and like do tshuva. We're like, well, I don't know what their hand was. I don't know what there was going on in that sitter. But right, so David already knows that he's there from Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, he knows these things. That's right. So what is the concept that the Arizal didn't think that you just are aware of God's presence, but in your actual mind you saw the letters Yud and He, etc. And that's what it means, Shivisim Lein Tamid. The whole idea is that you actually are imagining the letters. And Api Kabbalah, letters have inherent significance and they mashpia on you. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes on. The Yesha Hayu Regilin Machmas Zeh, based on this Arizal, Lasos menorot shel klaf mitsuyarim lahaniach besidurim. So they put the menorah in the siddur, an image of menorah. The kosvim b'hem shivis Hashem l'neged tamid ben dalet osios. Sorry, ben dalet osios b'share shmos u'menorah kazeh ha'isa nikras b'shem shivisi. But I know, because we've all seen something like this. I mean, the menorah is the Shivisi, and they put the letters of Hashem in the menorah, whatever it is. And the idea is, it's like God's looking at you. I mean, when you see the letters in the menorah, it's just a physical reminder that we don't talk during davening, right? Like when I got a toothbrush from my dentist, it said, careful, Dr. Biller is watching. It was like a threat, you know? So that's what he said. Or it was like, watch out or beware, you know? Similarly, the Svaradim based on Arizal put in the Siddur, like, you talk, Hashem will zap you, you know? So what we see here is a new dimension in the halacha, where it's actually ideal to have something physical-ish to try to connect to, whether it's the letters of Hashem's name, a menorah, who knows what. But you could certainly see this going too far. And,
but
yeah.
It's another Kabbalah.
Oh, a tremendous amount of Kabbalah. Yeah, totally.
With all the Kavanot and
stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in, you know, again, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, as famous as he is, dare I say he's one of the most underrated rabbis in American Jewry. The man is beyond brilliant, and he speaks about very deep esoteric topics, and like what Aryeh Kaplan was able to do, he is able to bring them into normal language. And a very deep sefer called World Mask, he speaks about the concept of how speech is the bridge between the physical world and the spiritual world. And he actually speaks about using your imagination when you daven. And this is what we call dimyon. I mean, there is a very clear avoda that when you are davening, there is an ideal work there to try to use your imagination. And the whole concept of letters and words are to use that expression of the more esoteric concepts and the almost like the way that these deep thoughts are expressed in this world is through speech. And there's a lot there, and there's a lot in the Sefer about it. And he specifically has it. I couldn't find it, unfortunately. Where in World Mass does he go through the concept of Dimyon? But he also does speak about, like, trying to have, using the imagination when you daven without letting your imagination run wild. Like, you use words to control your imagination. At the same time, the imagination is supposed to be doing something. Like you know, it's not just like, say the words. I mean, you should be thinking of certain images. Again, I unfortunately couldn't find the exact page, but it should be noted that there is a concept of ideally imagining something when we daven. Not a physical God, chas v'sham. One of the 13 Yigimli Karimuna, right, is that God has no physicality. But there is a concept of using the imagination to connect. Fascinating. So I thought it was very related to the Chayda Egel and in halacha. Now, there are certain halachas that are similar to what we're discussing this evening. I just thought I would bring them somewhat tangentially. That in the Machzorim, people apparently, says the Taz and Yoredeh, Kuf Mem Aleph, in the context of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, people would make certain images in the Machzorim to connect to Tfilas Geshem, to connect to the Mazalos, you know, every month, as her mazel, and the Taz says, Lo yafahem osim, kevin shehem mechuvanim lasos tzura tamazalot. The Taz said, this is too close to Isurim of don't make imagery. You're not supposed to try to paint or make images like we learned a few weeks ago. Don't make images of the mazalos. Don't do that. But the Shach has a response in his Nekudas HaKesef. And the Taz, he thinks, is wrong. Because one of the basic heterim of making images is when it's for educational or constructive purpose. He says, the hadavar pasha tahavi lahavin ulahorot. So in the same way, we allow Sefer Bereishis Svarim to have pictures of Maisa Bereishis to help the kids understand the 7 days of creation with pictures. So too, argues the Shach, this is just educational. It's helping you connect, helping you appreciate the Tfilas HaGeshem. Fascinating. So therefore, the Shach would seemingly be a great source to be makel on the Koren Siddur. In the same way that it's not Avodah Zarah, the Shach was not Avodah Zarah. But what's the other issue that the Koren Siddur has to contend with? It's not Avodah Zarah because it's educational, but what is it? Distracting. The Ramah said that you can't have images or distract. But what's the response of the Koren? What do you mean? It's not distracting. It's helping. So seemingly, you know, it's not the hardest heter to get. In the same way that there's a heter of Avodah Zarah, meaning images that are productive are not usher, so too you can argue that the images in the Siddur are literally there to enhance your kavanah. So, you know, I could certainly see them having received a legitimate heter from, you know, a very authoritative figure to justify those very captivating images in the Siddur. And it's certainly a wonderful thing. I remember I was in awe when I saw that Siddur the first time. And just in conclusion, Purim Katan, and I'm very happy Rabbi Weinshop had personal experience with this, that apparently in the Gilyono, this is in Hilchos Ksivas Megillah, Tav Reish Adi Aleph Sikhat and Zayin and Eli Rabbah, that Eino Nachon, Dahu Lachatchila Be'inan Kamo Sefer Torah. But you know how we look away when we have an Aliyah? We don't want people thinking that the text of the bracha of the Aliyah is in the Sefer Torah itself. So they're kind of looking away when you get an Aliyah. So we don't want people thinking that certain things are in the Megillah when they're not really there. But apparently there was some concept that people made images in the Megillah. So the Eli Rabba says that when people make images in the Megillah, that's not nachon. Just like you shouldn't put things in the Sefer Torah. And he says it's also distracting, like our sugya, the asal etzayir tziur and besvarim shebespalalim. However, he argues it's different. Mihu bazei yishlachalik, but the betfila beinan like kavana bioser. When you're davening Shmona Esrei, you can't have something distract you. But you can argue when you're laying in the Megillah, you're in the Megillah, it's not gonna be as problematic because it's not like the same level of concentration. So in conclusion, we have learned this evening that so again, there is a word of Rav Soloveitchik, then the Megillah is actually a form of tefillah, even, believe it or not. Okay, you want to argue, right? I just have to stop here. But again, in conclusion, we learned that there is a halacha not to get distracted with the physical world. We shouldn't have images in a sitter. We shouldn't dive into a mirror. In the same way that maybe Klai Yisrael got a little bit too blinded by the need for physicality. That being said, kula dar hetayrim, when the physicality is being used to connect you to the ultimate source. Have a wonderful evening.